Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. I hope that you're doing well and that this week you're experiencing the nearness of Christ in a special way. And as we begin today, I want to ask you, how many of you have subscriptions to any service that have, following that service, the word premium or pro or plus? You know, for a while now, I've made use of a program that's available to pastors for free. But you have to pay for their pro version. It's one of those yearly subscription things that I don't really like to get into. And as you're using that program, there's this constant marketing interwoven throughout that shows you snippets of the content that could be available to you if you were to spring for the pro version. Well, interestingly, our denomination decided to go ahead and purchase the pro versions for any pastor in our denomination who would like it. And so I excitedly said yes, and I went through the process of having my account freely upgraded to their pro package. And I delightedly began to peruse the content that had previously been unavailable to me. But you know, it wasn't long after that, as I was going through their content, that I came across a bit of material that I was interested in, but when I clicked on it, it immediately said that this content was available not in the pro package, but in the even more exalted platinum package. But you know, that's always how it is, isn't it? I mean, companies are very good at making you feel inferior with what you already have, so that you'll attach yourselves to them and have something that's supposedly better than what you had before. And this has always been the case, both in the world of physical goods, but also in the world of spiritual goods. There are sellers of physical things, and there are sellers of spiritual things. And no matter what it is, there is always somebody trying to upsell you from the free version to the premium package. Well, this is what we see here in a huge way in Acts chapter 15. As a massive number of Gentiles are coming to faith in Jesus Christ and experiencing the free gift of salvation. But a number of the Jews, who I'd like to point out, were completely unauthorized by the church. They entered in among these Gentiles and immediately began trying to sell them the plus version of Christianity. If they truly wanted to be part of the program and have salvation, then they needed to subscribe to the full weight of the Jewish law, all the rules, all the regulations that were a part of the Jewish religious system. Now, I cannot stress to you enough the importance of this issue in this chapter, because here is hammered out the most significant doctrine in Christianity, the doctrine of salvation. This is without a doubt the most important doctrine, because you can be a little off in your understanding about the end times, what the gifts of God are, how they're to be used in the church, those kinds of things. But the doctrine of salvation, how we get to heaven, there's no room for error on that point, because a wrong understanding of the doctrine of salvation can cost you eternity. And so in the coming weeks, we'll be carefully moving through this chapter, expounding what the church clearly recognized regarding the way that all people, including Gentiles like us, most of us, are saved. Go ahead and look with me at the very first verse of Acts 15. It reads, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Now, throughout the history of the church, oftentimes church leaders have gathered together in order to settle doctrinal issues. And in fact, historians recognize seven major councils that met during the first several centuries of the church. And you're probably familiar with some of the most significant ones, such as the councils of Nicaea in 325, Chalcedon in 451, which met in order to confront and condemn false teachings about the person and nature of Jesus Christ, and to clearly define what the Bible actually teaches about him. But as important as these councils were, none were as significant or as important as the very first one that we find in our chapter today, because it answered the most important question that could ever be asked: what must a person do to be saved? Now, these Judaizers, they were saying that in order to be saved, you needed Jesus plus circumcision. Jesus plus circumcision equals salvation. Now, many of our men nowadays have been circumcised, whether or not we wanted to be when we were very young. And so for most of us, this may seem like a discussion that it doesn't really matter, at least to us. But it does, in fact, matter a great deal, because what we're talking about is more than just circumcision. No, we're talking about what it is that saves us. Is it faith in Jesus alone? Or is it Jesus plus something else? I guarantee you that most of you have heard at least one person say in and throughout the course of your life, you need to be baptized to be saved. Well, that's a little rough on the thief on the cross, who never got that opportunity. Or you might have heard somebody say, you need to go to church every week, or you must complete catechism, or you must do, I don't know, any number of things. Now, all those things might be beneficial, as many traditions of the Jews are, but the question is whether or not those things save you. I myself am fascinated by Jewish traditions and culture. I believe that there is a wealth of treasures that remain untapped by many of us Westerners that could breathe so much depth into our Christian walk if we only knew better the Jewish roots of our faith. And that's a large part of what this show, Lehem Panim, is about. To participate in many of the traditions of the Jews, like Passover, like the Feast of Purim, is actually to visually live out the history of our faith. However, I'm very wary of anyone who, having filled their minds with all that depth of understanding, then fails to distinguish between what can complement your salvation from what gives you salvation. And some even go so far as to at least imply, if not outright say, that we must become Jews in how we live our lives if we're going to share in salvation. That is the heresy that was at this time starting to creep into the church and needed to be confronted. The central question is, do I need Jesus or do I need Jesus plus? Now, one thing we need to grasp if we're to understand the mindset of these Judaizers, these men who sought to make everybody Jews, is the fact that they, like all the early Christians, saw Christianity not as a separate religion from Judaism, but as a fulfillment of Judaism. Christianity was the climax of a process that had begun thousands of years prior. And so for a Gentile to kind of squeeze in for the end result, not having to go through the process that they as Jews had to go through, was a real difficulty for them. Now, they were willing to receive a comparatively small group of Samaritans into the church, and they even allowed Cornelius, a Roman, to somehow squeeze in, though it's doubtful they really understood what that was all about. But it's one thing to allow a few Gentiles to squeeze in, and quite another to go gallivanting all over the Mediterranean world, seeking out and bringing multitudes of Gentiles into the church. That was something that was, in the minds of many Jewish Christians, completely unacceptable. Now, it may surprise you, but I actually sympathize a lot with the Judaizers on this. And I think you will too as we proceed through the text. I don't agree with them, but I know where they're coming from. These were men and women who all their lives had strived in the best way that they knew how to do everything right. Most had grown up under very, very strict rules and had said no to a great many things. And to see these Gentiles now be openly received as equal sharers in the salvation of God, I mean, it was profoundly disturbing to them. Why should Gentiles share in our inheritance? They were kind of like the other son in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, who watched as his brother rebelled against their father. He took much of their wealth, and then he went to the city and he squandered it all on wild living. And then that son comes back, and instead of facing judgment, the father receives him with open arms and receives him right back into the home. And he clothes him with a robe. He puts a ring on his finger and then shoes for his feet. And not only that, he then throws a party for him. A party in which the father serves the fattened calf, the best calf. And you'll remember the other son, the son who had not run off, he comes in from the field and hears the dancing and the music. And after inquiring about it and hearing the explanation, he can't believe it. And he refuses to join the party. And so the father goes out to him where he's sulking and entreats him to come in. But it says, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he, the father, said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Now, you and I have heard many sermons preached about the sinful son who left. But what about the self-righteous son who stayed? We rarely focus, maybe mention, but rarely focus on this second part of the story. But you know, that may be the part that is, if not more important, at least just as important, at least to these Jews who were listening to Jesus. Because Jesus knew, and of course it was always his intention, that the unclean, lawless Gentiles might be allowed into the family of God. Because ultimately, and here's the thrust of it, God is their father too, just as much as he is of the Jew. And as their father, God loves and desires that they also might know his salvation. Now, spoiler alert, this story has a wonderful ending. The church does come to unite around the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone, and does not become yet another works-based religion. And we'll see how all that unfolded in the coming weeks. But I want you to leave today knowing what Jesus requires of you for salvation. We can read of it in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you haven't done that yet, call upon Jesus in faith and ask him to be the Lord of your life, and you will be saved, and he will be all that you ever need, no plus required. Call upon him today. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word. and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.